Hello, church. Thank you for coming this morning. Nice cold morning. Who knows our mission statement? Loud voice, Willie.
To know Christ and make him known.
To know Christ, to know God and to make him known. And it's something that we say and have, you know, obviously repeated often probably over the years, some of us. But it's been something that's been very dear to my heart for many years, is just knowing God. Paul, when he was in prison, he wrote to Timothy, he said, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him in that day." And I'm challenged by these words. I know in whom I have believed. Can you make that statement? Can you, when it comes to the crunch, actually say, I know in whom I have believed? And I'm convinced that he is going to keep what I've committed to him. And if you've given him your whole life and committed your whole life to him, then that's a statement that you can make with confidence. I know in whom I have believed. The days are coming when we won't be able to rest on the faith of others. It won't be enough to come to this church and say, I'm safe, I'm part of COV. Won't be enough to say, well, I know the elders, I'm sure they're praying for me. Or, my dad's a Christian. We're Christians, aren't we? It's not going to be enough. There has to be something that really personal happens. In other words, we have to seek God for ourselves. And I'm sure you're all aware, I talk to even, you know, non-Christian people, even some of my non-Christian family, are aware that the world is changing. They're aware that there is a darkness and an unfamiliar darkness that seems to be blowing across the earth and especially across Western nations. And we're aware of these things, and it's really important that we don't just sort of look at it and look away again and think, she'll be fine, mate. Because, you know, it won't be fine. And I don't think the days are going to get lighter. I think they're going to get darker. The hope that we have that, oh, surely if we get a national government, that'll solve everything. No, sir. I don't think that's going to happen. And so we have to face the fact, as a church, that the days are getting darker and will continue to get darker. That the contrast between light and darkness is increasing. And the Lord's desire for his church during the days to come is that we will shine like a star. That in the dark we won't be dimming and sort of dimming to the same ratio as the darkness gets darker. We'll be becoming brighter. And the only reason and the only way that we can make that happen in our lives is if we personally know in whom we have believed. When our dependencies are not on what's around us anymore. We're not dependent on our bank accounts. We're not dependent on the fact that we might be part of a group or anything else. We become dependent completely, entirely on our faith, our personal relationship with Jesus. Jeremiah said, "And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord." And so the simple statement is that we cannot expect to know God in any depth if we're not seeking to know him. And the only way we can seek to know him in any kind of real way is to do it with all of our hearts. It's not going to happen any other way. So what does it mean to seek the Lord? And that's the question that I want to try and address this morning. What does it mean to actually seek God? Does it mean sort of sitting and, you know, putting your iPhones or iPads, like, you know, one of just listening to some sort of music or something on the way to work? Is that it? Putting a gospel song on? Is that seeking God? Does it mean, is coming to church on a Sunday morning, is that seeking God? Going to a prayer meeting once on a Monday night every month, is that seeking God? And I think all these things are to a degree. But there is a deeper seeking that I believe that God is inviting his church into. One thing I know about the Lord is that he actually wants to make himself known. He doesn't hide himself on purpose. To his family, he wants to be known. He wants to reveal himself. And when I think about that, well, I think, well, man, that just means how I, you know, what I know of God now is probably only a fraction of what he actually wants to show me. And I think we're going to spend all eternity in heaven just learning new things about who he is. The vision that Isaiah had of the throne of God was that it was surrounded by living creatures, and day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But the interesting thing about those creatures is they're covered in eyes. And what that says to me is that they're always seeing something new about God, forever. They're seeing something new about his glory and his ways and his holiness and his character and his love. And they cannot but speak, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And I believe that God is inviting us into a personal space with him where in this time and in this space where the persecution isn't too bad, where the darkness is not too dark, where we can actually take this time and take this moment, this season in God to seek him, so that we, like Paul, can say, "I know in whom I have believed." Let's turn to Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11, look at verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6, most of you will know this. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him." So the first thing about seeking God is we have to seek in faith. We have to seek in believing that actually it's his intention for us to seek him and that he will reward us as we take this time to seek him. We're to seek him in faith. If we don't come to him in faith, if we're not fully believing that when we come to him, that he is the rewarder of those who seek him, then our seeking is going to be hard going. You know, we'll be doing it out of duty. It's kind of like quiet times. Has anybody in the church ever had a time where you just think a quiet time feels like a bit of a duty? Few people, honest, thank you. But you know what I mean? It's just like, I've got to do my quiet time this morning, you know? And it's not something that we kind of look forward to sometimes. I'm just being honest. Sometimes you get up, you're really tired, you're a little bit late. Do I have time? Should I? Shan't I? And, you know, sometimes I'll say, I don't have time, and I just go for the day. Other times I'll say, no, I have to, and I should. Lately, more than ever, I've been sort of saying, no, I should, and I do. And so I got a reward. But when I do that, we have to enter into that space with faith. If we don't, it is just going to be kind of a religious act. We've got to believe that when we're having our quiet time, we literally are having time with God Almighty. We are coming into his throne room, so to speak, and spending time with the Lord of heaven and earth. And when we have that attitude in our seeking with the Lord, and we believe that by doing so, I'm going to go away with something. I'm going to have God do something, say something, reveal something to me that's going to be a gem for me for the day. It's going to be water in my well. And that's what God wants to do. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 9, please. And this is on the topic, 2 Chronicles, chapter 9. And I want you to see that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. He's the rewarder of those who seek him. I'm going to read some verses from 2 Chronicles chapter 9. This is about the Queen of Sheba, who some of you may know, had an amazing time, a meeting with Solomon. So let me read to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with hard questions, having a very great retinue, camels that bore spices, gold in abundance, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart." Verse 2, "So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for Solomon that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, the cupbearers and their apparel, and his entryway by which we went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe their words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on his throne to be the king, to be king for the Lord your God. Because your God has loved Israel to establish them forever, therefore he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. Verse 9. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great abundance, and precious stones. There never were any spices such as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the servants of Hiram and the servants of Solomon who bought gold from Ophir bought algum wood and precious stones, and the king made walkways of the algum wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also harps and stringed instruments for singers. And there were none such as these before, seen before in the land of Judah. Now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she brought to the king. So she turned and went her way to her own country, she and her servants. It's an amazing story when you think about it. But I want you to see this in terms of just what's waiting us when we actually start to put some of these principles into place. When we start seeking God genuinely with a whole heart, just the riches and the glory and the blessings that may be awaiting us if we're willing and believing God to do that for us. The first thing I want you to see about the Queen of Sheba is that she utterly committed herself to this. This was utter commitment. It cost her a lot. In today's terms, it was 4 metric tons of gold that she brought with her to give to Solomon. Unheard of quantities of spices and precious stones. And on top of that, with all of that weight and all those camels, she traveled 2,000 miles about on a camel to find out if what she'd heard about Solomon was real. 2,000 kilometers. Would we be willing to do that to seek God? Are we willing to make some form of sacrifice? We've heard of God. We've heard of his glory. Like Job, I've heard of you, but now I've seen you. And I repent in dust and ashes. There are aspects of God that is waiting for us to discover, but I don't think he's just going to hand it to everyone on a platter as if it's something cheap and free. Our salvation is free, no doubt at all. It's a gift of God, that alone, it's not by works. But knowing God is a different thing, really knowing him, pressing in to know him more. That's for those who have the heart and the vision and the fire in their belly and the belief to actually go the extra mile, to go further, to seek him, to find out who he is. The Queen of Sheba did that. There was no half-heartedness in her heart, no double-mindedness. She was committed and determined to seek the wisdom of God she'd heard about. Secondly, we see that she shared all that was in her heart. And this is important that when you're seeking God, when you're spending time with the Lord, you can't hide anything that's in your heart. You can't come to him, you know, dressed well and being all religious. That doesn't make any difference to him because he sees our hearts. And I've got to say, in my own life, some of the times, the best times, some of the most intimate times I've had with God is when I've actually come to him and I've expressed my full heart to him. And that may mean expressing disappointment. It may mean expressing anger to him that I have in my heart. I might as well tell him, it's in there anyway. And so we've got to come to God with that completely open heart. She expressed all of her thoughts, all of her desires, all of her questions about life and the world. She was humble enough to actually ask God and express these things to him. She came with the attitude, I don't know these things, but I want to know. What about this and what about that? And how do you feel about this? And what happens here? What happens there? This is what a person does when they come to the Lord with an open heart. And God wants us to come with that kind of heart. Thirdly, nothing was too difficult for Solomon to answer. Nothing. No question she asked, no problem she presented, tripped him up in any way. And that's the same with the Lord. Jesus was like that on earth. People came to him asking him what they thought were the most amazing questions, and Jesus just trumped them tenfold with his answers every time. Nothing can trip him up. Solomon was also in no rush with this. It's interesting that Jewish history kind of indicates that she was probably there for around 6 months. It wasn't just a weekend trip. She actually came and spent 6 months, and day by day, Every question, every new thing that popped in her mind, one question begetting another question, she would present that to Solomon, and Solomon would answer fully. He did not look down on her in any way because the fact that she didn't know things. He honored her, answering every question that she asked him. And that's the way that God treats us. He knows we don't know. We don't know what we don't know. That's right, you know. But anyway, but he knows. He knows. And he loves the fact that we can come to him as children and just ask him simple things. Simple everyday things in life. Present your heart to him. What can I do to bless my wife today? I'm out of ideas. You know, God will answer a question like that. And you can ask him questions about the universe. You can ask him questions about all kinds of things. And God is very willing and wanting to answer. He wants that father relationship with us. I love the fact when my kids were younger, they don't do it much now, but when they come to me and ask me for advice, you know, and ask me about things, ask me about life. Dad, what do you think of this and what do you think of that? I love the fact that I know what they need to know and I can share that with them. And that's what Father God is like. He wants to do that for us. Next thing is that she was not satisfied with secondhand stories. She didn't just rest on the fact that she had heard, man, that sounds amazing, and did nothing about it. God has no grandchildren. He wants us all. We all have, of his children have direct access to him. I remember years ago sitting on my back door, and we had a cat that kept having kittens, all the Toms in the neighborhood. And this one day we had a whole bunch of kittens on the back door, and I got to know them a little bit, and I just sit there and pat them. And this is when I was sort of having a little bit of a struggle myself with trusting God in my life. And three or four of them just were purring away and jumping up on my lap and that kind of thing. And there was one that stayed about 3 feet away. And I try and touch it a little bit and pat it, and it just wouldn't come. And then when I was sitting there, the Lord said, "That's you, Tony." I was like, "What?" He said, "That's what you're like. You're happy for me to extend my hand a little bit and give you a little pat. But you don't trust me enough because you maintain a distance. It's actually more comfortable for you to maintain a distance because you're not quite sure who I am. You're not quite sure how much I love." It has taken me years, I've got to be honest, to come to that place where I can actually climb up on his lap and receive the love that he wants to give. Nextly, she was utterly overwhelmed. It says, when she had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the food on the table, all this amazing stuff, it says there was no more spirit in her. In other words, there were no words. She had no capacity to express what she was experiencing. No capacity to actually describe the glory that she was having. There are no words, no capacity to absorb. And I think that God wants to give us these experiences. And I know I'm talking a little bit about experiences this morning. But you can't have a relationship without experience. It just won't happen. Experience is important when it's put in the right place. And it's a blessing when it comes. And so I want to ask you, has God ever taken your breath away? Have you ever had a time in your life where it just goes boom? You just think, oh my gosh, I have no words. I don't know what to say about this. You know, God just gave me a glimpse of something. He blessed me in some particular way, very personal way, and I have no words. And if you've not experienced that, then you're missing out. But the experience is available to everybody to have that deep, intimate heart relationship with God where those things are not that uncommon. Our estimation of him changes when he reveals himself to us. And that's what I said before. He is wanting, and with every new revelation, you know, we too might be crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. I never saw this about you before, but oh my gosh, this is incredible. Thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me." Next, she was rewarded. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, more than she had brought to the king. She left with more. And so we know that in seeking God, whatever sacrifice we make in seeking him and putting that time aside to be with him, he will give us more in return. We'll go away and feeling like, man, that was worth, more than worth, me spending that time with him. It's interesting that in the time of Jesus, you know, one of his main antagonists were the Pharisees. And it's because they had spent their whole life building up an intellectual, academic relationship with the law. God was the law. And so they had all of these, you know, years and years and years of learning scripture off by heart, probably able to quote most of the Old Testament by heart. Yet still they missed out on actually knowing who God was. And it's interesting that Jesus rebuked them. And he actually spoke of the Queen of Sheba in that time when he was rebuking him. He said, the Queen of Sheba will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And now someone greater than Solomon is here. And the people of the day made no effort to know him. In fact, they were threatened by him. We must seek earnestly. This is the next part of Hebrews 11. It says, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're not talking about a casual thing. We're talking about being intentional in our time, knowing that we're actually going to be seeking the Lord. If King Charles was going to come to meet you, you'd be fully prepared. If he's going to come to, you know, to your home, we would be, oh my gosh, what have we got to do? Let's really put our heart and soul into this. Let's be fully committed. And there has to be an earnestness in this. And here we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our gathering today, in this meeting now, the God of glory, the ruler of the universe in this meeting with us this morning, with us in our homes, morning by morning, before we get up and go to work. We always have this opportunity that we too can actually get before the Lord and say, God, I just want to know something more about you this morning. I want to seek you. I'm not doing this just to sort of tick a ledger to say I've done my quiet time this morning. I'm doing this because I want to know you more. And I want you in my life today. I want your power in my life today. And God wants that to be. He wants to give that to us. And it's there, it sounds funny, and I'm not being casual about it, but it's there for the taking. God's heart is open to us, ready now to reveal himself to us, to those who would seek him the same way that the Queen of Sheba sought Solomon. Psalm 119:1-2 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. That's the key. Someone once said, half-heartedness seldom brings anything worth having. Let me say that again. Half-heartedness seldom brings anything worth having. And I found this to be true in my own life. He will always reveal himself to those who seek him wholeheartedly. And lastly, I just want to say, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this is where it comes down to our mission, to know God and to know him more. We can seek God for many things, and it's not wrong to do so. I've sought the Lord for many things in my life. I had a time in my life where I was wanting guidance from God on something very, very important, and the Lord wouldn't answer me. And I was wondering why. This is very strange. You know, morning by morning, I'd be asking God this question in silence. And then finally, the Lord said to me, really clearly said, you're more interested in my guidance than you are in me. You're seeking guidance all the time, but you're not actually seeking me. You want me to give you, I'm like the guy, you know, directing the traffic for you. That's the sort of sense that I was having. I was giving you the guidance you needed. But as a father to a son, the Lord was saying, well, where's your heart for me? You know, do you actually want to know me? Aside from the guidance, aside from seeking him for provision, protection, all these things are great things. But there's something that's more important. And that's what I think the Lord wants to give us. Martha and Mary. Martha was busy serving the Lord, doing what she was doing. And she was complaining even about Mary. But what did the Lord say to Martha? She's chosen what is better. And it won't be taken away from her. Did Mary end up serving? Of course she did. But she took the time, when the time presented itself, to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow him to minister to her heart to heart. And that's what I believe the Lord is calling us to as a church. And that's what I believe that we all need to be really, really intentional about in this season, this time that we have right now, where we aren't being put in prison, where the darkness isn't fully upon us, where we do have the time and the energy and the freedom, thank God, to be able to seek him in freedom, to be able to gather like we are this morning. So I think my message to you is seize the opportunity that God is presenting. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. Oh, Father, I know that it's your heart to reveal yourself to your children. It always has, always will be. That you want your people to know you. You want your people to be like Paul, who could say, I know in whom I have believed. May that be true of all of us. May all of us, Lord, find faith this morning and a desire this morning and a motivation this morning to seek you, not to be religious about it and try and come up with some sort of regime or agenda to make this happen. But Father, just from our hearts, to want to know you more. And if we don't want to know you more, to pray that you will cause our hearts to be filled with that desire to know you more and the faith to believe that you will show us. So Lord, I commit this into your hands, this message into your hands, all of us into your hands. In this season that we're in, Father, draw us near. In Jesus' name, amen.